If you own a business in Jamaica, whether it's a for-profit, non-profit, or an overseas company operating in Jamaica, you need to pay attention to what we're about to say because there's some new rules about operating a business in Jamaica and your business will be shut down if you don't comply. The changes are so significant that CEO and Registrar of the company's office of Jamaica, Shelley Leon, had to stop by our studio to explain. Leon, welcome to our studio.
Thank you, Kalila.
So the changes relate to beneficial ownership. Just
Yes.
explain to us what that is before we get into it.
All right, so the beneficial owner of a company is someone who ultimately owns and controls the company. What do we mean by that? So this means an individual, a natural person like you and I, who has a certain ownership percentage in the company and someone who controls the company. So makes decisions, directs what the company does. In some cases, you do not have someone who owns and controls. So you have someone who owns or controls. So it may be either limb. And if there is no such person, then you look for someone who exercises ultimate ownership or control over a company, a trust, a legal arrangement. If there is no such person, then you look for the person who exercises ultimate effective management control. What do we mean by ultimate effective management control? So, in day-to-day speak, the person who is in charge, the person who is calling the shots, and this may be one or more individuals.
And this is important because sometimes it can be hard to tell who actually owns a company. Because sometimes you see a company owning another company, or companies under a group of companies, a trust is involved, and you don't know who the real owner is.
Exactly. There are several cases where you have various layers, like an onion that you have to peel down the various layers to get to that individual who is the beneficial owner. And as you said, it's really important because we want to operate in a transparent space.
Okay, so what was the situation before, and what is the change that's being made to beneficial ownership rules?
All right, so in 2017, Jamaica first amended its Companies Act to make changes in regard to beneficial ownership. But when we did that amendment, the changes only applied to companies limited by shares, that is, profit-making companies. Apart from that, we said the beneficial owner is someone who owns 50% or more. Internationally, that threshold is thought to be too high. Also, we want not only profit-making companies, but we want non-profit companies to declare who their beneficial owner is. Because it's not only profit-making companies that can be subject to abuse. Non-profit companies, they are also vulnerable to be abused.
And what if it's more than one person? So let's say I own 30%, another person owns 30, and another person owns, so it splits maybe in thirds.
All right, so in regard to the ownership threshold, then everyone would be a beneficial owner because the law now says 25% or more. However, we don't only look at ownership. So, say for example, the other two persons, they may own 25%, they own the 30%. They are by law beneficial owners, but there may be one person, say the other two persons, they're absentee persons, they're not on the board of directors, they don't really participate much in decision making. So that third person who does all of that, they would also be a beneficial owner by virtue of the control element.
So who does this apply to? Is it only new companies that are registering or all companies existing?
It applies to all companies existing. So any company incorporated since the changes, before the changes, after the changes.
So what do we have to do?
All right, so there are several things that officers in companies should do or persons in management. First, you want to educate yourself as to what the changes are. Doing that, you will then ensure that you know what do I need to implement. So what gaps exist? Having identified the gaps, you then need to ensure that you put the proper systems in place, that you train the staff, and there are certain requirements that you will have to comply with. You have to file beneficial ownership returns, for example, with the registrar. You have to ensure that you do that. You're also required, for example, to maintain a register of members and beneficial owners, and that must be accurate, it must be adequate, it must be up to date. So you need to ensure that you do all of this. So I would say, I've been on the register for some time now, right? There are some persons who will exercise a high level of due diligence, and there are other persons who will not. So I need to take a look at my situation to see, do I know everything I need to know about my shareholders, about my officers or shareholders, members if it's non-profit? So something that everyone can relate to, when you go to a financial institution to open, for example, a bank account, and know your customer exercise will be carried out. So the bank ensures that they know who you are, for example. So you being an officer in a company, some companies, it may be smaller companies, it may be bigger companies. So you need to ensure then that you have records of the ID, the identification documents relating to your members, relating to your officers, that you have personal data, date of birth, taxpayer registration number. So you will do that sort of gathering of information, due diligence. You do that in the background, you get your register together, and then you ensure that you set up your system to periodically check if there have been changes. You also educate your members to say, you find out from them, are you really the person who gets the benefits from these shares or who controls what happens with these shares? Or in the case of a non-profit, are you really exercising your vote of your own free will, or are you bound by somebody else, so to speak? And once you've done all of that, you get all your records in place, then you will be in a position to file documents as you're obliged to do on an annual basis.
So it sounds like a lot. I thought it was just a new form that you have to fill out. It's more than that?
It is more than that. It is more than that in the sense that the law requires that you keep your records accurate. So that means the information that you have in regard to your members, in regard to your officers, etc., it must be accurate. It must be adequate. So you must have all the categories of information that the law requires. So address, occupation, taxpayer registration number, and so on. You must have all of that. And it must be up to date. So if something changes, then you need to have that information. So you have the housekeeping that you need to do internally, and then you have your obligations to file. And you also have to make sure that the persons who work in the company, that they are aware of all these obligations. The persons who have shares or the persons who are members, that they're aware in all these obligations. Because by law, they have an obligation to notify the company if they had a beneficial owner, say for example, shares of their shares. If that person changes, that person has an obligation to notify the company. They won't know that they have it unless you told them. So practical things to do may be, for example, you create a handbook, and this may be available electronically. Maybe when you're onboarding officers, new shareholders come on, you ensure that they have this type of information. So you can have certain things available online for persons.
But it's not all new shareholders who need it. You said it's just the majority owners, right?
All right. So The beneficial owner, that person typically, as we said, that's going to be someone who has 25% or more shares in the case of a company with shares, or it's going to be someone who exercises control. So why we suggest, for example, that you may want to, so you target those persons, but why you may want to educate everyone, things may change. Things are dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Someone may find that they are, by virtue of a succession matter, they inherit or they inherit shares or some other thing might happen. So it's important that they know of the obligation so that if their circumstance changes, then they will know what to do.
But didn't we already have to provide this information? Because you do have to, companies do have to provide, I think it's annual returns
exactly.
to the COJ.
So I'm very happy that you mentioned that. So since the 2017 amendments, companies have been under an obligation to provide the beneficial ownership information. And this had been collected in the annual return. There has, however, been a change in that it's now a separate return, the beneficial ownership return. So in the case of a profit-making company, it's a form called a beneficial ownership return A. In the case of a non-profit-making company, it's a beneficial ownership return form B. So when you are filing your annual return, you also file this beneficial ownership return. And it's key. Why we have separated it? The law now says beneficial ownership information, it is private. It will not be accessible to all and sundry.
Okay.
So this is comfort to some persons because we did have people coming into the jurisdiction or even people here who say, I don't want everybody to know that I'm the beneficial owner.
Right.
So what the law provides is that competent authorities, law enforcement, certain regulators, customs, for example, they can have access to the beneficial ownership information. Financial institutions and persons, for example, like attorneys and accountants, they are known as designated non-financial institutions. They, with the consent of their customers, can verify beneficial ownership information. So we are keeping your data safe and private. Mm-hmm. And it is only going to be exposed to someone who has a legitimate reason to want it. And not because these persons come from these departments, they must still send a written request to the company's office, verify that they work where they say they work, that they have authority, and then they will be allowed this access.
How complicated is the form? Like, is it something I could fill out myself or do I need to hire an attorney to do it?
All right, so I will say several things. So firstly, it has a lot of the information that the annual return had, right? But because it's now been split out, so some of that data is repeated. I would say you can complete it yourself. And why would I say that? Persons may be intimidated by the number of pages. Why do I say you can complete it yourself? The company's office has a beneficial ownership hub, and that hub has sample documents on it. It also has videos on it, so it has resources. However, it is not everyone who should complete this document for themselves. Earlier you mentioned that you may have a company which has various layers.
Mm-hmm.
For that layered type of company, the assessment of finding the beneficial owner, it will not be as simple as your small private company where the members and the shareholders are one or the same. So most of the companies, for example, on our register, members and shareholders are one and the same. And it's two persons, maybe three persons. So it's the same information. So persons would be able to generate that. But when you go into the more complicated scenarios where you have trust, where you have layers of companies, you do need professional guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's the reason that this change was made? Since it was already included in the annual return, why the importance of separating it?
All right. So it was in the annual return, but the law had several gaps. One, we were only looking at profit-making companies. We did not consider non-profit companies. For those profit-making companies, the companies with shares, we had that threshold way up at 50%. So the Financial Action Task Force, otherwise known as FATF, they are the international gatekeepers when it comes to anti-money laundering, counter-financing of terrorism and proliferation of arms. So they do an assessment of each country and say, are your systems adequate? Are they effective? Are your laws adequate and effective, for example? And they then give countries action items that we must undertake. So that happened in the case of Jamaica. If we do not comply, then we may, as we have found ourselves, we are grey listed currently because regrettably we were not able to meet our action items within the time that we should have met them.
So this is one of the changes that would get us off the grey list?
This is one of the changes that would get us off the grey list. And persons listening may say, but what is a grey list? Why is that important? So you know that as Jamaicans, we are on the global stage. Mm-hmm. So we trade globally. So we want to ensure that investors, they feel free to invest in our companies. They feel free to buy from us. We also want to ensure that there is corresponding banking relationships.
Right.
So a bank must be willing to send money to you. And you must be able to send money overseas. So this is the impact of this grey list. So there are countries who will not want to do business with Jamaica because they do not see Jamaica as a safe place. And so investors who want to do business in Jamaica or Jamaicans who want to export overseas, they find themselves up against a challenge. Simple thing too, we buy online. Mm-hmm. So there are some sites now. For example, EU, we're blacklisted. So there are some sites in the EU that will not take payment from through a Jamaican credit card, for example. Mm-hmm. So it impacts us as individuals as well.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So has the deadline already passed for us to comply? Like, is it a brand new thing that we're implementing this year, or is it already in existence?
All right, so we did miss some deadlines, but in regard to currently, I am happy to say that the country has worked very hard, and officially 37 of the 40 FATF recommendations, we would be seen as compliant, or we're fully compliant or we have attained a high level of compliance. And for the three remaining items, which involves the work that we do at the Companies Office of Jamaica, we have taken steps and we have addressed what we were asked to address. It's a continuous process because the standards, they are revised from time to time. So we will know if the Financial Action Task Force comes and they assess our system and they deem that it is effective and it is sustainable, then after that we just need to ensure that we keep maintaining the standards.
But for business owners, is there a deadline by which they need to submit this information?
Okay, so for business owners, your annual return, typically it is due on the anniversary date of your incorporation or the anniversary date that you filed your last return. And that is the same due date for the beneficial ownership return. So they are filed simultaneously. So for example, if you incorporated your company last year, January, then your annual return and your beneficial ownership return, if it's January 1, there's a 28-day grace period. So you'd have to file by the 29th of January.
Is there a cost to file?
Yes. So in regard to the profit-making companies, you pay a $5,000 fee to file your annual return, and it's $3,000 for the beneficial ownership return. If you are late with your annual return, then or your beneficial ownership return, then each document attracts a late filing fee of $2,000. For the nonprofit companies, they file their annual return, their income and expenditure, and the beneficial ownership return. It amounts to the same amount as the profit-making company.
What happens if I don't file it?
Well, we do not want to contemplate that eventuality, but regrettably we do. If you do not file, a part of the requirements as well is that the law must have effective sanctions. So effective sanctions were implemented. So the company could face fines ranging from $1 million to $5 million. And it's not only if you do not file, it's also if you fail to keep the information accurate, adequate, or up to date, that you could be filed. Because now the registrar has powers where we can actually go out to the company office, we inspect your register of members of beneficial owners, and we see if it has the same information as that is at the company's office. Then we send you a notice if there's a variance, ask you what's the reason for it, and ask that you rectify the same. So you have those sanctions. Regrettably as well, if you persist, if you don't comply, your company, though active, though very profitable, it could be struck off the register of companies. Because we do have administrative striking off now for failure to file beneficial ownership information.
But there are lots of informal companies too.
There are. So in the case of those, maybe would be like business names. So the law does this. These particular changes relate to companies either incorporated or registered under the Companies Act. So if your company is born in Jamaica, or if you started in another jurisdiction and you're registered here, this law impacts you.
What's the consequence of being struck off the what did you call it? Business registrar?
The register of companies.
Register of companies.
So the consequence is that your company is dead. You are not legitimately able to carry on any business. And so what does that mean? The financial institutions and other people with whom you deal, they are aware that they need to do certain checks. They check and they see that you've been struck off. They're not going to do business with you. Another thing, you may have a contract, someone, and you go to sue someone. The person then says, oh, you can't get judgment. You don't exist anymore. Yes. So these are just some of the practical consequences. Your own land, if you own, for example, land or any assets, you're not free to treat with it. So say you're struck off on your own land and you try to sell that land. When you go to the title's office will say you have no standing.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot transfer that land. You would have to go and get reinstated on the register of companies. Yes.
So there are real consequences.
Very real consequences. Yes.
For a fairly small amendment, a fairly small bit of effort, I would say.
Small bit of effort. And that is what we say to persons. Just file your returns annually. We are here to help you. We've provided a lot of resources that persons can use. So just do that annually and you will have no issues.
Where do you go to file for people who, there are people out there who don't even know they're supposed to file it. They registered and they thought that was it. So how do you file?
All right, so regrettably at this time, we don't yet have online filing for your annual return and your beneficial ownership return. So it's a process that you have to come in office. So you can either come in office at 1 Grenada Way, Kingston 5, to the Companies Office of Jamaica, or at the Annex in Montego Bay at our branch office there. But I'm pleased to say we are now working on a project where maybe in about a year, persons will be able to go online, file their annual returns, file their beneficial ownership return, file any changes that have occurred.
Do I can send it with a courier, just address it to?
Oh yes, you can definitely. You can send your documents with a courier. Also, if there is a JBDC office near you, you can go through JBDC and submit your documents to the company. Oh, we also have mobiles. How could I forget? So the company's office actually goes out into rural communities. We do this every other month. and persons have an opportunity in that forum to file documents that are outstanding, and we assist the persons during these mobiles.
Okay. Well, that was very useful information. Thank you so much, Ms. Leon.
Thank you for having me.
For more information, contact the Companies Office of Jamaica at 876-908-4419. You can also reach out via email or on their social media platforms. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thank you so much for watching. You can find a summary of this episode on my website, kalilareynolds.com, or by joining my newsletter. The links are all in the description.